Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Mahindra & Mahindra Q3 FY20 results conference call hosted by B&K Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note this conference is being recorded. Certain statements on this conference call with regard to our future growth prospects are forward-looking statements, which involve a number of risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to differ materially from those in such forward-looking statements. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Hitesh Bhargava from B&K Securities. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you, Bikram. Good afternoon, everyone. I would like to welcome the management of Mahindra & Mahindra and thank them for taking out the time for this call. We have with us today Dr. Pavan Goenka, Managing Director, Mr. V.S. Parthasarathy, Group CFO and Group CIO, as well as other senior management, including the IR team. I now hand over the call to Mr. V.S. Parthasarathy for opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon and welcome one and all to the Q3 FY20 press meet of M&M Limited and the analyst call. This is, I'm sorry, it's always why is it press? Press has happened. So to the analyst meet of M&M Limited. Generally, in these meetings, I start with economic update, both global and local. Today, I'll keep that part very brief but spend more time on the financials. After my comments, as usual, Pavan will talk about the overall business performance in more detail. A small respite is expected in global growth, with IMF estimating the growth to pick up to 3.3% in 2020 from 2.9% in 2019. However, it remains to be seen how the coronavirus will impact this, both for the Chinese economy and the global economy at large. Currently, there are some signals that things are starting to pick up, at least on the manufacturing front in China. Let's hope this smoothens out very quickly. Closer to home, we have seen some green shoots in the rural economy. The Rabi acreage has been increasing, auguring well for the farm output. And there are some soft signals around the urban sector, which augurs well for that portion of India. Overall, there is more positive news to look forward to, although a full recovery may be still a couple of quarters away. The first budget of the decade lays out a detailed blueprint and provides strategic direction for both Bharat and India and lays a strong foundation, hopefully, for economic recovery. Overall, it was a budget that will bring the three R's: revive, reignite, and rise to the fore. Now, let me share financials for Q3 FY20 for M&M plus MVML. The operating performance of the company has been very robust for this quarter. Our OPM in the last 1 year has shown a continuous upward trajectory in spite of pressures on top line due to subdued industry. Our OPM has moved from 13.2% in Q3 FY19 to 13.5% in Q4 FY19 to 14% in Q1 FY20, 14.1% in Q2 FY20 to 14.8% this quarter of Q3 FY20. The company's operational performance has also broadly met the expectation of the analysts, and especially on EBITDA and OPM, we have exceeded analyst expectations. The company also continues to deliver best-in-class operating margins amongst other peers in the industry. This improvement in trajectory has been achieved in spite of pressures on revenue due to a difficult external environment. This quarter, Q3 FY20, we showed a -6% revenue growth or a revenue degrowth of 6%. However, we could deliver a robust 5% growth in EBITDA and 160 basis point improvement in OPM on a YOY basis. This has been achieved through robust cost management, improved model mix, and softening commodity prices. Good fiscal prudence and discipline has helped us to contain overall working capital and achieve good cash flows. Dr. Goenka will talk about this in more detail. So overall, while our market performance has been better or in line with the industry, we have significantly outperformed the industry when it comes to financial performance. However, Our reported standalone financial performance is impacted by one-off and exceptional items, both in the current quarter and the comparative quarter of quarter 3 F19. In the previous quarter of Q3 F19, there were two one-off gains totaling to 599 crores at PAT level. There is a one-time dividend received from a subsidiary of 204 crores and a one-time tax credits of 431 crores to the company. In EI, there is a hit of 80 crores on account of impairment of certain investment. As against this, in the current year's quarter, which is Q3 F20, for a major listed subsidiary of M&M, there has been a fall in market price. On consequent testing of impairment as per accounting standards, based on a conservative approach by the company and as agreed with the auditors, we have recognized an impairment charge in the current quarter for that subsidiary. Some additional aspect that needs to be noted, this is a non-cash charge. The subsidiary is currently facing headwinds both in domestic market and the international market, but eventually the cycle will even out. The management is taking several initiatives and action to address this, and that includes leveraging partnerships. The business case remains robust and the company's board strongly believes it can create value and ensure returns not only to future investment but also the past investment. I'm looking at Ms. Dr. Goenka, and I think that he's going to cover this in greater detail in his comments. So we see an EI hit of 601 crores due to impairment this year and a 47 crores one-off gain this quarter, versus an EI of 80 crores and a one-time gain of 599 crores in the previous quarter, as explained earlier. This has led to a swing of 1,073 crores in the relative YOY performance, which explains the huge variance that you see in the reported results. If I were to take these one-off and EIs out, then the PBT will show 1,323 crores, which is a growth of 1.7% versus previous year, and PAT at 934 crores will show a 6.5% growth. Now let me take you quickly through the Q3 segment analysis and financials. Auto segment revenue at 7,424 crores is lower by 6.2% versus Q3 F19 revenue of 7,915 crores. But EBITDA has shown an increase of 14.9%. This has been achieved through robust cost focus, material cost management, and favorable model mix. OPM at 13.7 is a jump of 250 basis points over Q19 of 11.2% and even sequentially higher by 110 basis points over Q2 F20. Segment result at 542 crores registered an increase of 17.6% over Q3 figure of 461 crores. FES revenue at 4278 crores is lower by 7.7% against Q3 F19 revenues. At the segment level, the OPM for farm equipment sector is at 19.9%. It is slightly lower than the previous year of 20.7%. However, given this is a benchmark OPM and the best amongst peers, as was stated earlier. Segment result at 831 crores, lower by 6.4% versus last year's Q3 of 888 crores. Now let me move to consolidated financials. At a consolidated revenue level, our net revenue was 25,303 crores, with a degrowth of 4% over Q3 figures of 26,352. In the segment result, the consolidated PBIT was 667 crores, which is 60% lower than Q3 numbers of 1674 crores. Higher degrowth at consolidated level is primarily due to higher loss and impairment related to SYMC. More details will be shared by Dr. Goenka. Few highlights from our key sectors are TechM posted a PAT of 1146 crores. Mahindra Finance reported a PAT of 472 crores as against 399 crores last year. delivering a growth of 18%. And overall, if I have to summarize, I would say that amidst very tough external environment, auto and farm and the operating performance of M&M, we have been able to deliver a robust operating performance. Now I request Pawan to give his comments, please.
Thank you, Partha. So as you have already seen that this quarter was sort of two distinct buckets for us in terms of performance. If we look at our performance in domestic core business of auto and tractor, I believe that we have done very well, as Partha has just taken you through, and I'll give you a few more highlights. And when we look at some of our international businesses, there have been challenges in these businesses, and I'll talk about some of those in my opening remarks. So coming to our core business of auto tractor, especially in domestic market, in Indian market, within the constraints of where the industry is, and both auto industry and tractor industry had a degrowth in the quarter, we have done same or marginally better than the industry in terms of market share in auto, in all three segments of auto, and also in tractor, where we have marginally improved our market share in the nine-month period. In auto, of course, the operating margin has jumped by 2.5% compared to last year, and even compared to last quarter, it has increased. In FES, there is a significant improvement in balance sheet during the year. And in fact, between auto and tractor combined, the cash generated from the business is the highest that we have seen, at least in 5 years, in any quarter. And the inventory levels are very comfortable. In fact, for auto, it is lower than the normal inventory that one would like to have. And in tractor, it's roughly where the inventory should be at that point of time. So fairly okay on inventory. I will not go into electric sort of sector. And if you have any questions on electric during the Q&A, then I'll come back to it. Let me just jump straight to the international subsidiary. I will only touch upon two, and if you have questions on any of the other ones, then we can get into it in the Q&A. These are the two which perhaps contributed the maximum to the losses in the consolidated result, or to reducing the profit in the consolidated result. And the one is Musa, Mahindra USA tractor company, and the second one is SsangYong. Mahindra USA, you will recall last year, we had talked about how we have significantly changed our business model and how we are working towards bringing down inventory and reducing financing costs. So we are roughly about halfway through in the sort of changes that we are bringing into the company. Our inventory has gone down by 20% at the dealer level, 40% at the plant level, and our billing volume last year was, or in the first 9 months, is up by about 20%. So I would say we are roughly half of where we want to be at the end of 9 months during this year, and hopefully in the next year we would be completing the task. When it comes to SYMC, I won't talk too much about the performance that is in front of you. Partha has also covered some of it. You know that we had to take an impairment in our investment this year of 500 crore plus, and SsangYong also had a write-down of asset of about 57 billion Korean won. Just for your convenience, to get million from billion, just divide by 1.1. And if you're very good in math, divide by 1.157. So in SYMC, as I said, I won't go too much into the past, and I will just talk about what we are doing from here on. But if there are questions on the past, I will be happy to cover those. The only thing that I want to say about the past is that as of end of first quarter of 2019, things were looking very positive. And in fact, I was hopeful that we will have a break-even year for SsangYong. And things started deteriorating in the market conditions in quarter two onwards. And because SsangYong is a company that was at the edge of break-even, any reduction in volume has had a much more severe impact on SsangYong than it would have on a company that is reasonably profitable. That is pure math, nothing more than that. And in the export market also, there were three or four markets where external environment has not been very kind to us. But let me now talk about what happens from here on. The SsangYong board on 16th December has approved, after several rounds and deliberation, the business plan for 3 years. In this business plan, SsangYong will become break-even in the third year, that is 2022 calendar year. What it requires is approximately 450 to 500 billion, that means about $400 to $450 million of fund infusion. And we obviously will be looking at a combination of three sources of funds, coming from external borrowing, coming from third-party investment, and coming from Mahindra Investment. We have not yet concluded on which source will bring how much funding. But that's the total funding required, including repayment of past loans. So out of this 450, 500, about half of it is repayment of past loans, and about half of it is fresh investment into the company. And just to put this in context, while 450 million or $400 million may sound like large, a lot of money, but it is approximately two new product development programs that we would undertake in an auto company, even in India, and represents less than 1 year of CapEx that Mahindra would have in a normal year. But that's what we need to turn around the company. What we obviously have to do, and there's no rocket science in it, we have to increase volume, we have to reduce cost, and we have to increase efficiency. We have already achieved some of these things and working on more. For example, a very tangible thing that has already been implemented is an agreement with the labor union, whereby they have agreed to take a hit in their compensation for some time for the company to become normal, and this will go a long way in terms of helping us to break even. The second thing that we are doing very tangible is to look at very aggressively material cost reduction, working with an outside consultant whereby we are targeting about $90 billion reduction per year, which means approximately 3 to 4% of material cost. The third thing that we are doing is making synergy with Mahindra in product development almost a given rather than an option. And thereby, the new development programs, that is the CSUV, BSUV, will be aligned with Mahindra and significantly reducing the CapEx and even material cost by doing that. And then the fourth thing is to look at how do we look at new export markets. The domestic market growth will be more or less in line with what happens in the domestic industry, and therefore we don't expect domestic markets to jump too much over the years. But export, where we have declined sharply in the last 3-4 years, is where we see an opportunity to get back some good volumes. And the two markets we are focusing on are Russia and Vietnam. Russia is unlikely to happen during this year. If all goes well, it should happen by middle of next year. Vietnam could happen towards the end of this year. So basically, that's the 3-year plan. Of course, I can go on in a lot more detail, but this pretty much summarizes how we are expecting to get back to profitability for SsangYong. If I was to look at now FY21 coming back to India, and what is the outlook that we see on the passenger vehicle side or auto side, the SIAM estimate is PV growth of 2 to 4%. Obviously, given that we have had a very bad year, this may look like a small number. But the reason we are being cautious in saying 2 to 4% is because of BS6 coming in and prices going up, and therefore for a while, consumer sentiment will remain negative, and therefore 2 to 4% is the growth that we are expecting right now. On commercial vehicle, maybe somewhat low, somewhat higher, 4 to 6% including for MHCV, and therefore overall auto growth of about 3 to 5%. This obviously is being helped by focus on rural economy that the government of India has. And that should, unless something negative happens in terms of agriculture output, which right now we don't expect, that should do well for us. On the tractor side, this quarter, current quarter, we expect to see a growth of about 5 to 7% in the industry, leading to an overall degrowth for the year of about 7%, which currently stands at about 9%. And for the next year, it's a bit too early, but our best estimate right now is about a 5% growth plus minus 2%. And the reason we are saying 5% growth is because of many sort of positive signs that we see today. Rabi sowing has been good, 8% above normal. The reservoir levels are very good, and that means that even if the monsoon is somewhat deficient, then because of good reservoir level, we will not see a very major negative impact on agriculture. And as of now, there is no negative on the monsoon, and the El Nino impact appears to be neutral as of now. So therefore, 5% right now, with plus minus 2% range, appears to be a fair and realistic growth for us to talk about for next year. Transition to BS6, more or less on track, not just for Mahindra, but as much as I can determine for all the companies. We are in the process of petering down our BS4 production and ramping up BS6 production. And before 31st March, all the vehicles should be produced. We should be producing BS6 for all the vehicles. Cost increase, I have already talked about in the past, cost-wise about 15,000 for petrol and diesel between 50 and 70,000. Price increase will depend from manufacturer to manufacturer. Some may decide to pass on everything, some may decide to pass on in phases, and some may decide to absorb some. So that we don't know how everyone will play it out. New launches very quickly. Are on track. We have talked about most of these, so I won't repeat. W501, that is Thar, W601, Z101, on electric vehicles, EKUV, the Atom, the EXUV300, on commercial vehicle side, the Furio ICV range, the LCV range, and the Cruzio minibus. And also, I can just point out that we are working on a fairly major program for developing a new tractor platform called K2. I don't think we have talked about that in the past. And the K2 platform will have four different tractor ranges or horsepower ranges and designed for both domestic as well as international markets. The work is primarily or majorly being done in Japan right now in cooperation with Mitsubishi Agriculture Machinery. So this is a very ambitious major program of tractor development for us. And finally, two more points, one on Ford. So we have a small sort of first tangible output of our alliance with Ford, where we'll be launching a connected vehicle solution. I think Ford is launching it this week, and we'll be launching it at the end of this financial year. This was developed jointly after we announced the phase one of our collaboration. The CSUV platform work is going on in full swing. And this will be saving us approximately 1,000 crore in terms of overall investment compared to if Ford and Mahindra were to do this program separately. Same thing is happening on the BSUV with similar saving that will happen. BSUV program is about a year behind the CSUV program. We also have recently talked about using Ford's unused capacity for expanding Mahindra's engine capacity. That will save us a capex about 400 crore. And Mahindra G12 engine is getting ready to go into a Ford vehicle in the first quarter of next year. So these are sort of Ford activities. As you probably have read, that we have already received yesterday the CCI approval. So now we just need to start completing all the processes, and we are hoping that by end of May, we should be completing the process of the joint venture. On the investment, we had announced 18,000 crore as the investment, including CapEx as well as the equity investment for FY 20, 21, and 22. I have just talked about 1,000 crore as saving coming from Ford, which makes it 17,000 crore. We are targeting 15,000 crore by looking at other areas of investment reduction. And I should also point out that in no case would we allow the investment to go above 17,000 crores, including whatever money we have to invest in SsangYong. So that kind of becomes an upper limit of investment for FY 20, 21, and 22. Hopefully bring it down to 15,000 crores. So that's sort of the summary of what I wanted to talk about. Now we can open it up for Q&A.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. To ask a question, please press star and one on your touchtone phone now. We have a first question from the line of Kumar Rakesh from BNP Paribas. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, and thank you for taking my question. My first question is to Dr. Goenka. You were quoted in the media article suggesting that BS6 transition could be hit because of the coronavirus impact with the supply chain getting hit. Can you help us understand which specific BS6 component supply is getting hit? And you have a fair representation at CM. Do you see other OEMs also struggling with the same challenge?
So the concern that I had talked about was not so much on BS6, because BS6 were just ramping up. And a week or 2 weeks of components not coming in is not going to make a major difference to BS6. In any case, the BS6 volume offtake will be very slow. And therefore, BS6 is not the concern. What I had talked about is BS4, where we have one component coming from China. And that affects approximately 3,000 to 3,500 vehicles of BS4, total effect. We are hoping that it will open up in a week to 10 days. If that happens, then we will be able to still manage time-wise. If it goes beyond, let's say, February end, it will become very difficult. And then we will have to request the Supreme Court to give us a little bit extra time to sell these vehicles. So that's the total risk that we have, the 3,000 to 3,500 vehicles of BS4. As you also know, that China has started opening up and supplies have started trickling in. So we are hoping that we will not get to a situation where these 3,000 to 3,500 vehicles become a risk for us.
Thank you for that. My next question is around the new tractor platform which you talked about is under development. Can you help us understand which specific category you are looking at in getting that?
So this is the first time we have talked about it. So this is the first teaser. With time, we'll give you more and more information. For now, all that I can say, this is the most ambitious tractor development program that we have undertaken. We'll have 4 horsepower ranges that will come on this tractor platform, and it will be for both India as well as international markets, shared with Mitsubishi Elsie Machinery, which, as you know, is our joint venture with Mitsubishi.
Got it. Thank you for that. I'll fall back in the queue.
1 to 2,400.
Okay, so I've just been informed that the number 3,500 of risk has just come down to 2,400.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, in the
call long enough, then maybe it'll keep reducing and become zero before the call gets over.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, in the interest of time and fairness to all participants, kindly give your questions to one per participant. If you still have more questions, kindly join the queue afresh. We have next question from the line of Pramod Kumar from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Thanks a lot for the opportunity, Pawan. Sorry for this, but I'm going to ignore, for the time being, overlook the India performance and go to SsangYong first. We had earlier targeted a break-even in 2017. Now the break-even has shifted to 23, right? So what has gone wrong, and what is the confidence in terms of achieving this break-even at SsangYong in the next 3 years? Because we probably have invested over $1 billion since we acquired this company, and we haven't had much of a return as such. So just want to understand, appreciate the fact that you put an upper limit on the CapEx plus investment for the next year, but on the longer term, what's the thinking here? Or if any of the fundamental premises have changed since you acquired the company, if you can share that as well, that will be really great.
So I think the only premise that has changed since we acquired the company was a slowdown in the overall global auto industry that we have seen in the last 12 months. Okay, and as I had mentioned in my opening remarks, that as on first quarter, it was looking like that SsangYong will be break even, and therefore with a normal year of automotive volume, SsangYong would have been fine. Okay, so that's really the only thing that has changed. And the reason it looks to be a very big impact on SsangYong compared to, let's say, Mahindra or any other large OEM is because SsangYong was at the sort of break-even level, plus minus 1%. And when you are at the break-even level, as math will tell you, any drop in volume can have a fairly big or major sounding impact. So that's the only thing that has changed. Let me first correct that we have not invested $1 billion in SsangYong. In fact, after a first investment, which was, Partha, help me, how much was the first investment?
2,450 crores.
2,450 crore was the first investment, and after that,
total investment.
Total so far. The total so far is 2,450 crores. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Total investment so far is 2,450 crores. Most of the investment that SsangYong has made in product development has come out of its own generation, or out of outside loan, not from Mahindra. I should also point out that every year up until this year, 2019, SsangYong has been cash positive in terms of operations. And the investment that has been made, or the money, funds that have been required for future product development and not for running the company. And as we look at the future, as I've mentioned to you, that 450 billion to 500 billion Korean won is what we expect to be the fund requirement. That once again is not going into what I would call an EBITDA loss funding. EBITDA is positive this year, in 2020, 2021, and 2022, of course, and has always been positive except for the 2019 when we were minus 4 billion. That means about $4 million minus, and that has always been positive. So now 450 to 500 billion Korean won that I just mentioned will go into the total product pipeline. And as I have mentioned, that out of 450, actually about 250 are repayment of loan. So the fresh fund requirement, or net fresh fund requirement, is only about 250 to 300 billion Korean won. And 250 to 300 billion Korean won is approximately 1.5 vehicle programs. I just want to put that in the context that for an auto company, that kind of investment is not something that becomes a major investment. Now, from the viewpoint of what it does to our P&L and what it does to our investment, of course, that's something that you have already seen, that this time, this year, the consolidated level, SsangYong did pull down our profit significantly at the consolidated level. But that's, again, mostly coming because of D&A depreciation and not because of EBITDA loss. Now, I think the most important question that you would have is, what is the confidence that we have in this plan that we have talked about, and will we be sitting here 3 years from now and having a similar conversation? Okay. Clearly, no one can give you a black and white, sure shot answer to that. There are no sure shot such things. All we can talk about is that this time around, everyone is looking at the business plan very carefully. The board of SsangYong, in fact, we have engaged an outside consultant to review the business plan of SsangYong and independently tell us, not coming just from SsangYong management, but independently tell us whether this program or this business plan is something that we can take as a realistic plan and invest based on that plan. So that's an extra layer of confidence that we're trying to build in into the business plan. The part about cost reduction, based on the experience that we have had in the past in India, we are fairly confident on. The part about CapEx, we are fairly confident on, because that's something that we have done time and again. The part that, of course, remains an unknown, that nobody can give any guarantees on, is the volume growth. And therefore, volume growth is what the total performance will depend on. And clearly, if Mahindra is going to invest more money in SsangYong, Mahindra will be reasonably certain that the three-year plan that we have put in place will work out, and we will have a situation of break-even in 2022.
Okay, thanks for that. Now I'll address my question to Partha on the standalone performance.
I think get the easier question and I get the more difficult.
You're the man, Pawan.
Okay.
So, path on the India business, I think good performance. I think Operation Kuber clearly reflecting in your margin performance. And but how should one look at the how much of more of the benefits are still to accrue on the cost side going to BS6, and how should one look at margins in the BS6 era for you for the automotive business? Tractor doesn't get impacted, but if you can just talk a bit more about the cost and the benefit in the BS6 era, sir.
Okay. So you are asking me to do a crystal ball, and you know that's the toughest one for me because we don't give forward-looking statements. But having said that, let me dissect the cost element and look at each of these elements. One of the biggest beneficiaries from an external point, before I start talking about internal, is about the tailwinds and material cost. Okay, and that is the material cost tailwinds. You all are, in fact, more research. You do more research on how the trends are, occurring. You can take it as a philosophy that we do pass on whatever material cost increases happen. But however, currently we are at a cycle where it is giving us benefit, and we hope that it continues. But there are always cycles here, so that's how we should look at that line item. The second is Project Horizon and Project Kuber, done by Auto and Farm respectively. These are costs which are, in terms of the benefits, are permanent in nature. And we hope so, it's certainly permanent in nature. And this is giving us very good, not just on the material cost line, but also up to EBITDA, all the lines. Yeah. So, and this is something which can continue. The third portion, this time what Auto got a huge good benefit is on model mix. Yeah, they got a very good model mix. It is always our endeavor that our power brands do well, and as the power brands do well, our margins do well. So this is an attempt, and how it pans out for future, you can do it, but we hope it will continue, but projections we cannot make. The next last one out of the material cost is in terms of stock. Stock. This time we have no net benefit at an M&M level. We don't have a hit because of stock increase or decrease or vice versa. We don't have a positive impact. So these are the elements, Pramod, I would like you to kind of look and factor them in. BS6, you have asked, and I will not duck that question. There is a cost increase and there will be a price increase taken. Yeah, and if we take a little bit of measured price increase, we hope other elements will come and kind of manage margin. All I can show you is the 5-quarter trend, 13.2, 13.5, 14, 14.1, and 14.8 this quarter. So this is the trend, but future, the past is not, as they say, only indication for future.
Pramod, let me be a little bit more bold in answering your question. If I look at the petrol vehicle, and we have right now only two petrol vehicles in our portfolio, XUV300 and KUV100. In both of these, we have taken a 20,000 rupee price increase already announced, and both of these pass on the cost increase and also make some margin on that in line with the margin that we have in our products. For diesel, as you know, cost increase is much higher, and every automaker will take a call on how much of it to pass on, and whether to pass on everything in one shot or do it in two or three tranches, and how much margin can one potentially make on this cost increase. It will depend to a large extent on the competitive scenario, who does what, and also depends on where the positioning of our product is. So we will start announcing these price increases. Mahindra, as you know, has always kept the financial performance in consideration as we take such calls, and we'll do the same thing again. And there will be products where we'll take the full cost increase, and there will be products where we'll do partial increase in phase one and another increase in phase two. But eventually, we will try and recover all the cost.
And Pawan, quick timeline on the launches. There's so many launches coming up, including the XUV500, the new Scorpio, everything. If you can just say quarterly, what is the kind of expectation on major automotive brand launches, sir?
Okay, are you allowed third question? I'll be happy to answer.
Yeah, this is only one.
This is a follow-up.
Okay.
this is not a follow-up.
All right, okay. I think others will have the same question, so I'll answer it. So the question is the sort of timeline of launches, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so we have several launches coming up in the next 18 months to 24 months. The most imminent one is the launch of EKUV100, which in terms of volume obviously will not be very large, but very important launch for us because of the very, very aggressive pricing that we are able to do in this one. And this should be happening in the first quarter of the coming financial year. The next one is the new Thar, which should also happen in the first quarter of next financial year. And we are very excited about that launch. We decided not to showcase in the Auto Expo because we didn't want it to get lost in the crowd, and we'll do a separate event for that. Following from that would be the launch of the Atom, which is the mass mobility electric vehicle that we showcased in Auto Expo. We are very positive on this launch because we think this will be a perfect last mile connectivity electric vehicle, very affordable, very comfortable, and therefore we expect this to become a major volume driver for electric vehicle. And we expect this launch to happen in the second quarter of next financial year, FY21. Followed with that will be the launch of W601. Which is a brand new platform, SUV, crossover SUV, that will happen in the first or the fourth quarter of the next financial year. That means first quarter of 2021 calendar year. Followed with that will be Z101, which will be happening in the first quarter of FY22 or second quarter of 2021 calendar year. Followed by that will be the EKXUV300, which we showcased in Auto Expo. That should happen in the middle of calendar year 2021. That's on the passenger vehicle side. I'm not talking about the refreshes that will happen. There are several refreshes that are happening on many products. I've only talked about the new launches, the new platforms. Then on the commercial vehicle, we have launched the Cruzio minibus in the Auto Expo, 12-seater and 42-seater. On Furio ICV, we have launched several variants. Five have already been launched, and five will be launched during the next financial year. That will be covering from 5.4 to 7.2 ton, and that will complete the range of commercial vehicle for us from 0.5 ton to 49 ton. And then on the tractor, I've mentioned the K2 platform is the main one, where the launch will start from middle of 2021 and carry on for almost 2 years as we launch different horsepower segments in that tractor.
Thanks a lot, Pawan, and best of luck. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Kindly restrict questions to one per participant. We have next question from the line of Raghu Nandan from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. Because it's only one question, I wanted to one question on Java. Last quarter you had provided an update. If you can provide an update on how the production and volumes are going. There was also some news relating to doubling of production to 10,000 per month by January, and if you can also indicate the break-even point for Java.
I think on Java last year, last time we had especially requested Anupam Taneja to come in to this conference. Today he is not on the conference. But I can basically say that there is nothing significantly new to report. Things are going as per the plan, and whatever was mentioned last conference is happening. We are constantly increasing our volume and looking at new products to be launched. Parek was launched, November 19, and booking started in January 20. And more products will be coming up.
Thank you for that. Can you share the volume numbers, sir, for the December quarter?
We are not sharing volume numbers.
Yeah. So just to give a perspective, last time when Anupam came in, what we had made a request is you were very keen, so we will give you some numbers. Give us a little bit of space. In May, we will come and share, and by that time, the annual numbers will also be due, and it will be a good time for a very... company which is just doing its early bit to give it enough time. But I must share you that we are looking at it very, very positively on a 10,000 feet level, and you will have more details in May.
I think one sentence summary would be, this is where we said we started in two-wheelers.
Thank you, sir, and all the best. Should I come back in the queue for the next question?
Yes, please.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir. We have next question from the line of Dinesh Singh from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi team, thanks for the opportunity. Congratulations for good performance on the India business amidst very challenging times, but it was dragged by the console business. And in fact, even when we look at, you know, between FY14 to FY19, we see that the console profits have lagged the standalone profits. By standalone, I mean MNM plus MVML. So in light of this, is there a rethink on the federation structure or a rethink on incremental investments that you're planning to do in non-MNM plus MVML business?
You want to go in?
Yeah. So first and foremost is that whenever you're right, this is a fact that our consolidated profits are lower than standalone profit, and therefore that point is well taken. We are having basically two big ticket items where we are seeing that loss to kind of, you know, come in. One is in SsangYong and one is in Musa. SsangYong, you already have had an update from Pawan, and in some sense he also covered, you didn't cover Mahindra USA specifically, Pawan. Very short. But to say that we also in year on year, you will see greater improvement every quarter, and next year we should be on the break-even to positive mode. So this is the broad coverage on Musa. This is how we will handle it. Go ahead.
Yeah. Actually, the point I was trying to make is that even when you look at FY14 to FY19, the consolidated profit for Mahindra has grown by around 3%, whereas the M&M plus MVML profit has grown by around 7%, you know. Yeah. So for last few years, we've seen that, you know, the console business ends up being a bit of a drag on the standalone business. So in that context, you know, when you look at incremental investments outside the automotive business, is there a sort of a rethink on that, you know, something on more on those lines?
Yeah. So you, just one more point, and Pawan, then you can come in. There is one technical thing that you need to look at, because the good companies are paying us dividend, which goes into the PAT growth in MVML.
Correct.
And, you know, when you compare that with the consolidated, yeah, so if you remove the dividend and see it, it may give a much closer figure, but that's more technical. But your point is that we are in a cycle where the investments that we have made is not yielding us that kind of a positive momentum from a profit growth point of view. Yeah, and we hope that the cycle reverses. From a capital allocation point of view, you are aware how we have said that we look at each investment on its merit. We look at the IRR that it gives from a financial perspective. We look at what it does to us strategically, and I've explained that all to you in terms of our investment philosophy. We will continue with that philosophy, but build in more checks and balances because of the external environment, which has also changed dramatically over the last 4 or 5 years. Yeah, and more about this maybe after the year end when we have the analyst conference. We will take this as one of the subject matter and could have, you know, longer discussions around in terms of thought process and how we address various loss-making subsidiaries.
I think I just want to add two things. First of all, in terms of total investment that M&M Limited makes, bulk of it goes into M&M and not into outside investment.
Bulk of it goes to AFS.
That's what I mean. I mean, M&M plus MVML.
Yeah.
Bulk of it is going to M&M plus MVML. I don't have the number in front of me, but it certainly will be more than 50% going into M&M plus MVML. Only about the remaining is going into the various investment. That is one point. So it may look like that we are investing a lot of money outside the M&M Limited, but the number in terms of investment may not be as large. The consolidated profit loss is a different thing. I'm talking investment. And the second point that I want to make is that in automotive and tractor business, as we look at growing beyond beyond India, the gestation periods are long, and that's one cannot take that away. And no matter which company you look at, when it goes into a new market, whether MNC is coming into India in automotive business or anyone going anywhere else, they are long gestation period. And if we were to take a call that we will not invest in the long gestation period investments, then we would be constraining ourselves to the India domestic business. And that's not how we can grow in the long term. So there may be some discomfort in terms of the time it's taking for us to turn around some of these investments to become profit-making. And it has not been helped by the last 2 or 3 years of slowdown that we have seen in the auto industry globally. But we still believe that while as Partha said, we'll be obviously looking at each investment a lot more critically, we'll be doing that. But even so, I would like to think that we have to take these bets, and if we didn't take these bets, then we will not have the growth engine for the future.
Right. You know, the point well taken. Just one suggestion, you know, maybe the company can explore to sort of give a longer-term return on capital employed target, you know, like when you meet us in May, you know, maybe have like a 2025 target, because that will just make it easier to sort of put some number as to where, you know, things finally reach to.
Yeah, I got that input and I taken on board. We will kind of think through, and in May we will come back with a response.
Okay.
We may come back with a response. We will come back with a response. So I don't know which is correct.
Okay. Carry on, please.
Thank you, sir. We have next question from the line of Kapil Singh from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. My question is on electric side. We are seeing significant number of new launches. Could you talk about where are you seeing initial signs of success? In which segments do you see electric could gain significant market share in next 2-3 years? And are these products going to be profitable right from the start for you?
Okay, so the segment that is clearly taking the lead right now is the three-wheeler segment. In fact, if I was to include the lead acid battery three-wheelers that are being sold, which I don't think will be the long-term future, but even so, if we include those that are being sold right now, we are now selling in Mahindra close to 1,500 a month of these three-wheelers. 500 of these are lithium-ion Treo, and 1,000 of these are the E-alpha lead acid. In lithium-ion Treo, right now we are the major player, in fact, almost the only player. And the E-alpha, there are many, many players on in that segment. So that will be the first segment that I believe will take off. And the reason it will take off is two. One, already with the current level of FAME benefit and current level of GST, the Treo kind of three-wheeler is commercially viable for the owner-operator. That means owner-operator makes a little bit more money per month after paying for all the expenses on the Treo than he or she will make on the petrol, diesel, or CNG three-wheeler. And therefore, commercial viability is established. It's just a matter of the operators getting used to it. And for Mahindra, the Treo is at the variable cost level profitable from the word go. And as the volumes go up, I'm sure that it will become profitable at the EBITDA level also, and then at the PBT level. So I don't think that the time is very far. I don't have a calculation right now as to how much volume we require per month to get to that level. But it's not very far for getting a PBT break-even on Treo. We already are, like I said, variable cost profitable. On the second segment that is emerging but slowly is the fleet operation. E-Verito and a Tata vehicle are the primary vehicles being used in the fleet operation. We have now launched the EKUV 100, which I hope will be more desirable because of low ticket price that we have, 8.25 lakhs. And once that vehicle gets accepted in the fleet segment, the fleet segment can grow very rapidly. Now, our calculations are that EKUV 100 at the 8.25 lakh price is commercially break-even for an operator compared to an IC engine vehicle that they may be operating. And therefore, commercial viability at 8.25 lakh is established. 8.25 lakh is not a profitable price. This is the introductory price, but if we get to a volume of, I would like to say, 500 or so per month, then it will become variable cost profitable. The E-Verito is already profitable for us. and is selling about 100 a month. But again, for it to become meaningful, the volume has to be minimum 500. The bus segment is not something we are present in, but bus segment also is growing very, very, very rapidly. I do not know the profitability of the bus segment, and I don't know whether current OEMs are making money in the bus segment.
Thank you, sir, for the detailed answer. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We have next question from the lineup.
I would just like to add, though, even though we don't make forward-looking statement, that Mahindra Electric, we are expecting to be EBITDA positive in FY21.
Thank you, sir. We have next question from the lineup, Gunjan Prithyani from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thanks for taking my questions. I had a few follow-ups on SsangYong. You mentioned that the infusion could come through external third party or my M&M. Now, by third party, you mean are you open to some, you know, strategic stake sale there? Because those were the kind of news reports also circulating in December. If you can share your thoughts there. And on the write-off that you have taken in this quarter, now, if I look at the investment here, it is about 2400 crores, right? After taking 600 crores, I mean, it's not really mark to market to the current stock price. So what has been the thought process around 6 billion write-off?
Yeah.
The answer to the first question is very simple, yes. Second question, Pasha.
Are there any conversations which are, you know, as part of this three-year plan, are there conversations underway where you're looking at strategic sale?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Got you.
So this is a very, you know, involved question, which when we look at prices. So on one hand, I told you in my opening remark that we think the business case not only covers the new investment, but also all the past investment and could give return. So the business case is positive on one hand. And then the market price is showing stress, right? So we have to take both of this into account in order to arrive at a conservative basis. On one hand, you can say no impairment required because the business case is positive. On the other end, you say market price is what it is. So you put all this into the boiling pot and then you kind of appear what is the conservative provision that I should take. And then you have auditor also agrees with you and that's the figure you take. But your assessment is right. At 2450, when we knock off, it still is about 25% to 30% higher than the current market price. Okay.
Correct. So, I mean, we should not be worried that this write-off is coming. I mean, there's going to be another MTM here because the way the operations have panned out. If there was a write-off being taken, I thought it should have been a MTM, which is why I thought, you know, how you were looking at it.
It's a good point. Actually, all I can say is that whenever we take any write-off or any provision for the year, it is a one-time assessment, and that's what will be for the year. Way of looking at financials. Yeah.
Okay.
So what you're saying is, what is this for this year? And if you know, in a sense, it is our best estimate on a very conservative basis of what we should have in our books.
Sure. And the other thing that you mentioned, capex rationalization and cost is in our control. Now, you have some assessment on what is going to be the cost saving and the savings from the capex side. Do you think that with those two, you know, keeping the volume aside, because that's something which is going to depend on how the, you know, the global markets do, as well as some of the export markets where things haven't really changed in last 1 year. So I'm just keeping the volume variable aside. Do you feel confident that with the cost and the capex initiatives, you would be able to reach a cash break even sooner enough?
I have given some numbers to you that we have a fairly meaningful reduction in personnel cost thanks to the workers' union agreement that we have already put in place. And
sorry, I missed that. How big is that? Material cost, I got 90 billion, but...
I didn't give a number. That's why you didn't hear the number on that one, because I cannot reveal that number as to what
sure.
It is. It is a confidential agreement between the labor union and the management. On the material cost, 90 billion is looking fairly doable. based on the initial analysis that has been done by the outside consulting firm. And we should be kicking off that project hopefully by the end of this month. And therefore, these two will amount to a fairly significant reduction in cost. And like you said, that we need that the volume increase to get the financial performance at a comfortable level. I just want to go back to your other question that I said very short answer yes to. You mentioned the word strategic sale. Just want to clarify that what we are looking for is an investment, not a sale. So it's not like Mahindra is going and selling their stake. It is about getting investment into the company and not selling a stake.
Yeah.
Okay, got you. Just last one question, very short one. On the farm business again, the inventory correction was taken last year from what I recall. Then what really is the issue still there, and how confident are we of a break-even on the farm side, overseas farm subsidiaries next year?
No, so what we had said last year was that we had fairly large inventory at the dealer and at the plant itself. And we are going to take a two-year program to bring that inventory down to the level where we want it. We have reduced inventory, dealer inventory by 20% in the last 12 months. And we have reduced the plant inventory by about 40% in the last 12 months. We still have some more ways to go. Maybe not 20% reduction, maybe 10 more percent in dealer, maybe 20 more percent in plant. And that will bring us to the right level of inventory. And right level of inventory means working capital reduction and therefore interest cost reduction. So that's the one area that we are doing. And the second area is operational efficiency, which will save us tens of millions of dollars. And that two together will bring us to profitability in 2021 calendar year.
Okay, got you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We have next question from the line of Hitesh Goyal from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question, sir. Sir, just wanted to check, double check on this, consolidated EBIT of automotive. What is the kind of write-off included in this for Sangyong? It is 340 crores or it's higher than that?
Yeah, so just to, this is a good question. When it comes to Sangyong, we're consolidated. We are not talking standalone, okay? Because that's an investment impairment. In consolidation, that doesn't figure in because you're picking up every quarter the financial losses or proportion of the losses that we have, okay? So therefore, there is no investment. This is an impairment of assets at Sangyong level. That impairment of asset on a gross level is 340 crores and at a PAT level, at a PAT level after NCI is 254 crores. So 340 and 254 respectively. So that's the impact on the financials of consolidated.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
At a segment level in our consolidated, 340, at a PAT level, 254.
Okay, sir. Great. Thank you.
Okay. That was the last question.
Thank you. We have next, the last question from the line of Pramod Amte from CGS CIMB. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. This is with regard to the third partner or the partner you plan to bring into Sangyong. This is more for a value discovery or to reduce your burden. And follow up to the same is there are talks about even looking for a partner in the EV business in India. So you're just structurally changing the way Mahindra is looking at investments into subsidiary to bring in partners so that the burden on the shareholders will be reduced structurally.
One part can. Yeah. Just to give you a perspective, whether it is Systech, when you saw, auto components or any of the other investment we have done, we have always welcomed and believed that at a financial partner will actually help us from many ways, not just monetary. So this has been a philosophy, always been, not a new philosophy that we are having from that perspective. Having said that, now you asked two questions about Sangyong. Sangyong, first is that when we are looking at getting investments, it is from that perspective that investment into Sangyong will help us with both the things that you said and more. So therefore, we are keen in it. When it comes to electric vehicle, I don't want to comment on any, speculation that happens, but broadly, I can say to any private equity who walks into my door that here are my 10 sectors, We welcome investments in all of them, because we believe that together we can create more value. So it's a very general philosophy, and therefore if somebody did tell tomorrow that they want to invest in Mahindra Electric, I would welcome it. But I don't want to comment specifically on based on the report that you may have heard from market.
A priority preference will always be strategic partner, because strategic partner will bring value also, especially when we talk about Mahindra Electric, where I have said many times that scale is the key. If you get a strategic partner who puts together their requirement of electric vehicle components into Mahindra Electric, then clearly we create a bigger business and brings in more value.
Yeah.
So priority will be there, but we would welcome a financial partner also.
Yeah. So sorry, I just want to clarify this. What Pawan said is very applicable for Mahindra Electric, but not generally.
Correct.
What I answered applies generally, and to that extent applies to Mahindra Electric, but not in the order of priority for strategic and then financial.
Okay.
Thanks and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir.
Yeah. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'd now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Sriram Ramachandran for closing comments. Sir, over to you.
Yeah, so thanks a lot for participating. And if you still have some queries, you can write to us and we will respond it. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of B&K Securities, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining with us, and you may now disconnect your lines.